a Rayo Original Podcast.
Welcome to a very special episode of What's My Age Again, brought to you by FNF. Today, we're taking a bit of a break from testing blood and assessing ages to think about what we wear. Normally, I'm talking about biological and chronological ages, but is there such a thing as an aesthetic age? How does how we dress impact confidence? And can there even be such a thing as a fashion rule? I've told you guys, this is my hottest year yet, so I've turned to the experts at FNF and Grazia to help me take it to the next level. I'm joined by Rebecca Lothorp, the associate editor for fashion and luxury at Grazia magazine. She's worked at and contributed to some of the biggest fashion publications in the world, consulted for some of the most exciting brands, and is a member of the British Fashion Council's New Gen Selection Panel. So an expert on all things fashion, and I am so excited to have this conversation with her. Rebecca, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you. And thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And I mean that professionally and personally. I know a lot of our listeners will be asking the same question that I am. And that's, what does it mean to dress for your age?
I just don't think there are any rules anymore.
No.
I don't think there's anything to do with rules and age. I think you could put the same outfit on an 18-year-old and an 80-year-old these days, and they would both look fab in their own way, right?
No, not if they both look terrible, because like my 16-year-old dresses in a way that is neither appropriate for her nor for an 80-year-old. So I don't mean to like body shame the 80-year-old. I just think, you know, the trousers, and they keep bringing them back. So Rebecca, I really thought that we were doing high waist now. And denim is what gets me. Denim changes all the time. I'm wearing these lovely FNF jeans that I think are evergreen. And I love a piece like that. But we're going back to super ultra low rise.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think everyone needs a wardrobe of jeans,
actually.
I think that's the key. I think what you need is a high waist.
Yes.
You need a flare. You need a boot cut. You need something narrow to wear with a ballet flat. It's all about the shoe and the denim, frankly. And also denim, you know, you can wear that to anything now. That's why you need a wardrobe of jeans, because a good jean can take you, you know, from doing this to an event almost with a great jacket. So talk about versatility.
You're right. And you just change the shoe, the accessories, the jacket.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. You can do jeans with a heel, can't you? You can do them with a flat, a trainer.
Yeah. I even saw jeans at the Met Gala.
Oh, yes.
I think there was a young woman who was quite polarizing. She's a beautiful young, I think, Asian young woman. I say young. They're all so young to me all of a sudden in my 40s. And I think Chanel had dressed her, and it was controversial because they dressed her so super casually. But it was Chanel.
Yeah. But I mean, there's denim on the runways.
Yeah.
In almost every show, you'll get a denim, a jean, a shirt, a dress. It's kind of everywhere, and it's so elevated now, and it can be, you know, that's the beauty of it, isn't it? It goes up or down depending on your situation, what you're doing.
What do you think currently in what is meant to be my hottest year, but we're coming to the tail end of it and I haven't really got to where I want to be, but that's a different story. I've noticed that a lot of the women that I used to really admire, like the Golden Girls, the cast of the Golden Girls, for example.
Yes.
I love them. I've always loved them, even as a young girl, but they looked like nanas in a way.
Yes.
So how has styling yourself as a woman in her 40s changed, would you say?
Well, I'm in my 50s.
Oh.
I suppose it's that. I think it's knowing yourself.
Yeah.
Knowing what you want to, you know, reveal and conceal. And I think as you age, you know, you don't have the body of a 20-year-old anymore. So you're looking to sort of cover up bits here and there, but, you know, to make the best of yourself. And I think you kind of, you learn by trial and error, don't you, in your own wardrobe. And, you develop a system that works for you, a uniform.
And I suppose it's situational as well, because 50-year-old, 60-year-old women will find themselves in different environments with different tasks than an 18-year-old, than a 20-year-old. Like, there's no need for me to have a clubbing wardrobe.
No, exactly. I think you're kind of looking more at a wardrobe, I don't know, in my case anyway, for work. And then it is sort of that, you know, you're planning out your day and you're thinking, okay, who am I dressing for in a way? Who am I going to meet? Who am I dressing for? how am I going to feel if I wear that? Probably won't wear that. Wear that instead.
Yeah, authenticity matters so much because sometimes I will put something on that I think is aspirational for that day, but I've taken it too far and then I'm really uncomfortable and just I'm not happy. If I'm uncomfortable physically, I'm not happy for the rest of the day. So yeah. Like, that's what I struggle with, I think, in my own dressing, is that for work, I have a stylist. Like, you and I have very different lives to maybe the everyday listener who goes to an office job. Maybe they want to look a bit chic on the school run or having a dinner afterwards or even going to the shops. Like, there was a woman in my neighborhood who didn't work. There were many women in my neighborhood. It was a nice neighborhood. But she'd always look immaculate. And I would say, where are you going? And she'd say, well, I'm going to the shops, but that's the only place I'm going. So I really want to look nice for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought, oh, all right. And I haven't been able to master that everyday look. So I have like red carpet looks and I have bedtime looks. And I don't really know how to navigate them in between.
Okay, sorry, a bit thrown by the bedtime looks. I think, yeah, to that person who's going on the school run and just wants to look great at the school gates, it's all about, it's developing an image of yourself that you're happy with. Mm-hmm. And I think perhaps that's where, you know, maybe that's quite difficult for you because you're so on all the time, you know, you're so on screen or on camera.
Yeah.
That requires such a different look to normal you, mm-hmm. right? To doing normal things. And I think for anybody, that's quite hard. Like, what do I look like every day? That's like saying, who are you, really?
Trash is the answer. And I find that it's really difficult to blend high street pieces and designer pieces for me because I do have a lot of investment pieces that I hope to keep forever, that I hope to keep for my children. But somehow, when I put it together on my own, it just doesn't look right. So what do you think you would advise someone to choose from the high street? And then what should be a designer piece in terms of like maybe invest in a blazer, but do high street leggings, for example?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I would say, well, for example, F&F. Mm-hmm. Do amazing basics. So if you're looking for value for your wardrobe, you know, great t-shirts, great shirts, you know, this is F&F. Fantastic kind of easy utility pieces. But how would you mix it? I think for me, all outfits start with the shoe because if you know, and that might be more of an investment purchase, let's say, but that means that you're F&F leggings are going to look great with it, right?
Yes.
And I would invest in tailoring if possible, because those are the pieces that great jacket is going to be that piece that you'll wear with your jeans, wear with your leggings, shorts even, you know, depending on your age. A great jacket can kind of give your outfit a total oomph and sort of make you feel a bit more ready for the day, a bit more ready to go into battle, if you like.
I'm not a fashion insider. I know that you have put together a beautiful F&F outfit today. You've got some, are they wide leg? Really?
These are F&F.
Chic-looking black trousers. Yeah. Straight leg, wide leg?
They're kind of straight, wide-ish, but straight down.
Okay.
So no flare. And they're linen, and they're really soft.
And they're really crisp-looking but comfortable shirt.
Yeah, this is a vintage shirt. Bit of F&F, a posher shoe.
And then
my
utility jacket. Yeah. So it's, you're on a fashion safari.
I am.
You exactly. Look good. Really natural makeup.
Such an adventure coming here.
Beautiful hair. And then you've got great jewelry accessories. So I love that you've mixed F&F. You've mixed some high street that you love and some beautiful pieces with designer pieces. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
But I get it wrong and I just look crazy. What age do you think people feel most confident in their style? Because I do see people getting locked into a decade.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard not to arrive in a style rut at some stage in your life, I think, because to that point we were talking about earlier about, you know, dressing along the decades, the more decades you do, the more decades you've done, and it's sort of, you know, revisiting, mm-hmm. there's the revisiting decades, which is a horror for me because I've done them all, but nearly. And to your point of dressing a decade and getting stuck, or getting stuck in a style rut. Is that what you mean?
Yeah,
I think that's very easy to do, because you kind of develop that formula of dressing for yourself, and then suddenly that's all you buy. So you just buy a version of, you know, a utility jacket or a you know, wide leg trousers, or, you know, you get to know things that suit you, and then you just stop there. And that's not so much fun. Yeah. And that's when you need a bit of help, I think. It's good to go to a store, speak to a personal shopper, you know, get someone to arrange a rail for you, or a friend even. Go shopping with a friend, say, look, because a friend will always say, look, I can really see you in this.
Yeah.
And get someone to get you into something else that you wouldn't normally put on your own rail.
And I have to say,
fun.
I have some toxic values. I like supermodels. I like seeing supermodels. I think it's really cool. I think they're born for catwalk. I think things look beautiful on them. But I think now there's a lot more diversity in modeling. You see different ages represented. Mm-hmm. And the fashion industry used to be obviously quite ageist and sizist and whatever else. But now you could see yourself in so many different silhouettes and different looks and different shapes, so you're not relegated to...
Totally. I mean, I can totally see myself on the catwalk. Yeah. I know that sounds weird, but there are so many older women now walking the shows, which is so lovely. You know, Stephanie Cavalli is an amazing woman who opened the last Chanel show. Mm. I mean, for Chanel to open the show with a woman in her late 40s is just... brilliant. It's lovely to see. It feels much more inclusive, much more embracing, and also shows you, God, they look really good.
Yeah. And were you always fashionable even when you were a little girl?
I was a bit into it. Yeah. I was quite obsessed from an early age. Yeah.
Were you a trendsetter at school?
I think I was I used to get teased for wearing the wrong thing as they saw it. Because, you know, yeah, definitely had patent black lace-up shoes before anyone. And that was like a massive faux pas in my school.
And that's funny, actually, because you were right and they were wrong, but they were conforming. And I think that's what makes women feel scared about dressing the way they want at a certain age, because you get made fun of as a young woman for doing it in school, but you get made fun of as an older woman by your peers, maybe even by your husband if you're in a toxic relationship. I've heard people say, oh, well, that's like mutton dressed as lamb, or that's any time you don't conform, you do risk people chatting about you.
Yeah, you do. And that can be a good thing and wanted and warranted. And it can also be quite mean and, you know, cutting. And I think, yeah, definitely the mutton dressed as lamb thing, I would like to ban from anybody's vocab, because it's horrid, isn't it? What does it even mean? Why shouldn't you wear what you want to wear, even if it's a boob tube and a pair of hot pants? I mean,
well, I think it is. It's because it's an arm of self-expression. Mm. And I think some people find that very dangerous. And older women of this generation are hopefully the last generation that people think they can still keep in a box. Like, well, you mustn't take that risk, and you mustn't, you know, put yourself out there or be different or think differently or speak up. Mm. And that's changing so much. Yeah. I think it must be really exciting to know that actually, yes, I can. Maybe my mother couldn't. My mother would be called mutton dressed as lamb, but not me.
Yeah.
We could just wear whatever we want.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so many different ways of wearing it now. There's no style rules. You know, we're not in the 1950s anymore. You know, it's not about etiquette and politeness and everything being correct.
Well, do you remember when women used to not hide their pregnancies, but certainly would not show off that silhouette? And now you have women at the BAFTAs on the red carpet with their whole tummy out.
Yeah.
And you would hide your age, perhaps, by conforming with one outfit. But now women are expressing themselves in all kinds of ways through fashion. I love it.
Yeah.
Are there trends that you wish would end?
I think, like I said before, I think revisiting past eras is a bit like harder the more eras you've done. So especially the 80s. The 80s seems to be on a loop that doesn't seem to want to go away. Mm. I mean, it's been called more recently like the boom boom trend.
Yeah.
And which I love the idea of, but I think leave it to a generation who haven't yet sampled, who never sampled the 80s in the first place, to go and put on a big earring and a, you know, huge belt and a pencil skirt and a coloured tight and a, you know, fab shoe. You know, it looks amazing, but it's not for me.
No.
Is it a triggering era for you?
It is a bit triggering. Yeah. It's a bit like, ah. But also, yeah, the 90s again is on a loop. But I like the 90s. I like that style. Me I feel too. Like I've maybe formed my own style in that era quite well in a way, maybe. So I like the Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, you know, yeah. I've enjoyed that rerun because all of those clothes that she wore was so, it was basically the start of like a more pretty minimalism, wasn't it? It was sort of softer, but it was minimal and it was like, it looked the business, it looked really chic. But it wasn't trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
Are there any trends you wish would live forever?
I mean, my gut feeling is almost like, you know, Breakfast at Tiffany's. It's not even a trend. It's like a kind of timeless style that's just always gorgeous to look at, right? I mean, you can't beat, you know, a fantastic black dress.
True.
With a great heel and good hair and good makeup. You know, it's just...
And I really do. I've chosen FNF, just like blue. What would you call this blue? Like denim blue. It's like the blue.
Yeah, it's like proper mid denim blue. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Mid denim blue jeans and a white shirt. I love jeans and a white shirt.
Yeah, well, you can't really go wrong, right?
And those,
if they fit you and you feel good in them, and your t-shirt looks right, what's not to love about that?
I feel sad for the women that. In the 30s and 40s and 50s, you were always crisp dressed that you mentioned. And they didn't get to experience jeans and a white shirt. Not really.
No. I mean, they're too busy faffing with petticoats to make, you know, their skirts stand out just so. And, you know, blisters on their feet from wearing winkle picker, you know, really pointed shoes.
And what do you wish you could tell your 25-year-old self about clothes?
Oh, God, don't get rid of that John Galliano. Yeah. Just things that came so easily in that era, right? We've all had things that we've just loved and worn to death and then just sort of without thinking of the future. You just don't think like that then. You just let it go.
Yeah.
Oh, you can have that. I don't care. As if another one's going to come along. And it doesn't.
No.
That's what I would say to myself. Hold on to the good stuff.
What about colors for the season? I've heard people saying dress for your color season. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think that's a TikTok trend. I think that's about people developing a palette for what's right for your skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your palette and this is what you should stick to. But I don't like the idea of people sticking to anything. Okay. But I think it's important to know what suits you, right? But I think we all know that anyway.
No, and we don't.
No?
No. You know that. Maybe you and all your friends at the magazine.
Maybe.
But the rest of us out here.
Okay.
I've seen some shocking things.
Okay. Like what? Like what's so shocking?
Just someone who might say, my favorite color's pink, but they are ham-toned as I am.
Oh.
Like, and they're already pink enough. And maybe they need to...
Yeah. Well, for that, I would look at, like, the new neutrals.
Yeah.
Again, it's something that F&F, for example, have done really well, is that, you know, like this. This kind of sandy, tawny, beige, caramels, coffee colors, chocolate colors. All of those, and with a bit of khaki.
Yeah.
Those kind of new neutrals are kind of brilliant on most skin tones.
You're right.
And I think they're a bit softer and more forgiving than black, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like black near your face after a certain age is quite, you know, it's quite harsh. So chocolate is a great one. That's a navy, you know, and chocolate and navy together, chic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because my stylist sometimes talks about a purposeful clash.
Mm.
She likes to do that. Sometimes it sounds like you don't approve.
Oh, I do.
Oh, okay.
I wonder what colors she's purposefully clashing.
I don't know. Like she'll put a red and a pink together sometimes.
Yeah, but that's great. But for an on-screen or on red carpet look, that would look amazing on you, right?
But the women that I see, and I think they look put together. And I think that's all we're trying to do here with this chat and with this life is to dress with intention, to look put together, mm-hmm. even in a very comfortable way, and to have your home put together and to have your life put together and your marriage put together. And we hope that one will be an extension of the other. And do you feel that that's why Jerry Halliwell only wears beige?
What, in terms of, do you feel like there's an over put togetherness with her?
No, I like it. I like yeah. it. But every time I see a lady like that, I think I'd have that dirty by now.
Yeah.
But they don't, because their lunch was put together in a way that mine wasn't. Could I start there, maybe? Just like, all right, Catherine, if you think that you're not dressing elegantly enough with intention, just get some neutral basics.
Yeah.
Take a hiatus from all the nuts stuff in your
yeah.
cup.
Yeah. And think also as a segue for you into sort of on-screen kind of looks, mm-hmm. maybe you'd like the monochrome thing. Maybe that's quite a good way to start as well, because that's more about silhouette.
Yeah.
So you could go for like a more kind of balloon pant that's sort of clasped at the ankle with a heel, just a big, lovely white shirt that's really chic. Just, you know, that black and white thing can also work really well, I think.
And what's dopamine dressing? I've heard that one too.
Dopamine dressing, I think, is literally the serotonin hit that you get from amazing color, from seeing it on somebody or from wearing it yourself.
I will say with older ladies especially, because that's who I notice on the tube. I saw this wonderful, much older lady, like maybe in her 90s, I don't know, but she just looked happy and she was glowing and she had this beautiful skin and the frames of her glasses were colorful. And then the clothes she had on were really colorful.
Yeah.
And she just looked like such a happy person.
Yeah. I think there must be a point where you change from steering clear of like loud, you know, bold color or just a touch of it, like a red or whatever, to your hair changing color maybe. Maybe it's like the hair, you know, graying or even white. Like my mum's hair is white.
I love that.
And she looks amazing in like the hottest pink you could possibly find, you know, or purple, any hot pink, blue, any sort of punchy, bold color. And I think it's quite a way to dress when you're, well, she's in her 90s.
Ugh, platinum blonde. That's what that white is. And I've seen a lot of beautiful pops of color in the F&F range. And you can even just have one.
Yes.
You don't have to go the full 90-year-old woman on the tube who made my day.
Yeah, exactly.
You just have like one nice
pop. No, I think it's nice to have a pop, even if it's a sock, like a little red sock with a loafer. Yeah. That's quite nice.
What about on holiday? Do you find that you dress more adventurously on holiday?
Completely different personality.
Really?
Yeah. It's a different person.
Who is Rebecca on holiday?
She is wearing dresses.
Yeah.
Everything is a dress or a kaftan. There's color, there's embroidery, there's pretty much everything there is in my usual wardrobe.
And actually, I don't do too badly on holiday. I'm a lot more, I think maybe it's the pressure of having to pack a case and not wanting any frivolous choices. And that's what I do. I do a great edit. I'll have dresses, as you say, and a mix of high street and fun shoes. And then I always do, and I can tell you do the same with skin like that, is a beautiful hat.
Oh, yeah.
And I have some really good designer hats that I mix with holiday dresses, and that stays
amazing.
In one bag. Yeah.
Yeah. I think a hat is an essential, isn't it? And great big glasses.
Yeah.
And also the odd headscarf. I love a bit of a headscarf.
Me too.
Yes.
And you've never had any sun on your face. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I'm like a bit of a sun worshiper.
What?
No, not
but
so.
Not on your face.
I mean, I slather on the factor 50.
Well, you're doing very well.
Thank you.
I'm pretty good on holiday. I think it's because you can only take a finite amount of pieces. Mm. So how would you curate your ideal capsule holiday wardrobe?
Okay. I'm not a great packer. I'm probably the worst packer.
Do you have packing minions?
I wish I had packing minions.
Okay, I'll make a call.
I should have some packing minions, but I don't know. And I think But I've had to learn the hard way how to do it. And that is from dressing for the shows, right? Because you can't, it cost me so much money in extra luggage to take everything I wanted to take. So how do I pack? I start with shoes always.
Yep.
So, because I think also they take up so much room. Mm-hmm. So if it's a beach holiday, I know that I'm going to need a waterproof, like a flip-floppy kind of, you know, beachy shoe, and something for the evening that's a bit more, not a heel exactly, but a bit more of a pretty sandal or a nice elegant mule or something. And then I need a little wardrobe of swimwear. Mine would now be all one piece, obviously.
Not obviously, Rebecca.
And, yeah. And, but, you know, take what you will. But I kind of try to imagine, if I was going to do it properly, I would have to map out my days. So I'd have to think, okay, I need this many swimsuits. I need, therefore, this many sarongs. And because that takes up quite a lot of your day, doesn't it, at the beach, if it's a beachy holiday. And I think, am I going to be, you know, running or doing any work, you know, do I need to pack some trainers? And then dresses. For me, it's all about dresses because you just throw one thing on and it's so relaxing to just stick on a dress on holiday.
Then you save space because you don't need to pack pants.
Yeah. And then you have to wear your hat. Do you wear your hat?
I do wear my hat on the plane because it's enormous. I have like so many wide brimmed. Sun will never touch my face.
No.
Ever.
It's amazing, your skin.
Thank you. I have had a facelift, but also I've avoided the sun from birth.
I know. Well, I think you can see it's like baby skin.
Okay, well, look in the mirror, Rebecca. This is what I'm trying to say about your face.
Rubbish.
Sans facelift. Just SPF over here. All right, thank you. And I think people maybe pack too much on holiday as well. You can rewear things on holiday.
Yeah, you can rewear things on holiday. But also there's a lot of emphasis on getting it right and packing just the right thing. And do you know what? We all get it a bit wrong. Yeah. And it's quite nice to have overspill so that you can actually choose things, you know. Not that I'm advocating overpack at all costs.
But you sound like my husband.
It's sort of,
we are not checking a bag, Bobby. Bring what you can carry and nothing more.
Yeah.
Or just don't take photos.
Yeah,
wear what you want.
Exactly.
I think this influencer, this curation of like, I've got to post a decent carousel. You don't.
No.
Just enjoy.
No.
Can you please give me top 5 tips for timeless style?
Oh, wow. Timeless style. I think if you want to develop your own timeless style, I think jeans.
Yeah.
Give yourself a wardrobe of little wardrobe of jeans, at least 4 or 5 styles, because they'll take you anywhere. I think a great jacket is essential for taking you from, you know, work out in the evening or just, you know, somewhere you need to feel more pulled together.
Do you mean like a blazer?
Yeah, I think a blazer, but I don't mean like a blazer in the sense of a kind of man's golfing blazer.
No, it could
be
anything.
Gold buttons. I think like a tailored jacket is what I mean, but with a, you know, neutral color, like a, you know, charcoal or navy.
Or even a tweed.
Or even a tweed, yeah. Tweed jackets are fab.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, really, you need a little wardrobe of jackets as well.
Yeah,
so a little wardrobe of jeans, jackets. I think a dress, I think a great black dress, one that you feel completely brilliantly yourself in, and sort of elevates that confidence that can take you almost anywhere, right? A black dress, little black dress. I'd say good, you know, hair is important. You know, have a good haircut if you're feeling a bit low, and you know, I think that's part of the look.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
And I noticed that about fashion people. And what I will say about your look today, if you don't mind me assessing you once more for my own benefit, is I think what's most fashion-y about you, in addition to your beautiful outfit that just looks styled and it's not too much and it's not, you know, it just does look exactly as you say, really fashionable, really effortless, but you have perfect, beautiful skin and your hair is really cool as well. Who are your biggest style icons, please?
Wow. God.
Is it Celine Dion?
Oh my God, I love Celine Dion.
Me too.
My God, I love her.
I know.
She is an incredible style icon, in fact.
Right?
Yeah.
She was styled by that luxury law for a while. La Roche, is that his name?
Yes.
He styles Zendaya.
Yeah, amazing stylist. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, talk about put together and polished and of that moment and well chosen and da-da. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's like a stylist. That's like a collaboration with somebody else. Like if you're talking about innate style.
Like how does Celine Dion look on her day off? Probably like me. Probably like shit.
No, don't look like shit. I think probably like for innate style that's effortless. I mean, it's a bit obvious to say, but I think I have to say Kate Moss.
Right.
If I think about how great her style is innately, in that she will, the things that, everything she wears looks as if it's come from her own wardrobe. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look like it's come from a stylist rail, and she wears a jacket well, you know, great pair of jeans. It just looks undone and effortless. So she's one, I guess.
And do you think Kate Moss was a little girl like you who just always had it and innately was artistic in that way and might have been made fun of at school for having the special shoes, and that's why she became such a darling of the industry? Or do you think she's learned about fashion along the way?
I think a bit of both. Mm. I think she was probably that quite just a cool kid at school that got noticed in an airport by Sarah Dukas, and just in that effortless, gorgeous way, probably had a bit of the fact, because she doesn't really do fashion. I think that's why I've picked her out. Mm. She's not doing sort of trends. She's doing her. Yeah. So if you're talking about innate style, it's like Jane Birkin. If you're looking for somebody a bit older who had that innate style, you know, slightly kind of ratty old coat and a great jean and a lovely shirt, but nothing, never fashion.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. Fashion is something quite constructed, and style is something innate, if that's what you're asking me.
Yeah. So I suppose Jane Birkin and Kate Moss, while different in some ways, they seem to me like timeless, like two women who know exactly who they are.
Yeah.
Who face the world with confidence and authenticity, and they know themselves. And I think as I get older, that is one of my aspirations, fashion-wise. I think I want to be someone who not only looks together, but just has my style and knows what to buy, goes for it. I'm going to stop stealing my husband's tracksuits here and now.
But that's not such a bad thing. I think wearing your boyfriend, husband's...
No, you haven't seen me in my husband's tracksuits.
Okay.
Really? I'm going to get some CCTV footage off my phone of me leaving the house for the next 7 days and send it to you, and you're gonna go, what's going on? Yeah. Okay, well, thanks to you, I think that I'm gonna look a little bit more put together in life. I'm gonna try some beautiful F&F new neutrals, and then we're all gonna feel a little bit better dressing, not for our age, but for who we are, and looking cute on holiday too.
That's right.
Thank you, Rebecca, for being here and for educating us all. You look stunning in your F&F curated outfit today. And thank you to everyone who listened. Please follow the show on socials, and you can stream it as well. Thanks again to F&F for sponsoring this episode. You can buy these exact outfits that we're wearing right now, right off our backs. I will sign the inside of this shirt and draw a picture of you on the outside of the shirt. I won't do any of that, but you can get loads more at F&F. You can pop into the shop, or you can shop online right now.
This was a Rayo Original Podcast.